Canuck Central. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15. Served in 20 minutes or less at Boston Pizza. We're in the Kintec studio, and an update. We've got some new intel on our Sportsnet 650 Jays Care 50-50 draw in support of BC Challenger Baseball. So looking to get more people to buy into this 50-50. 50 goes to you, 50 goes to supporting BC Challenger Baseball and giving the gift of sport to kids across BC with Challenger Baseball. So it's an incredible cause, can do a lot of good. We've seen the good in action. It is incredible what BC Challenger Baseball does. So to try and boost this 50-50 sat at Sportsnet 650, we are adding a little bit of a twist and a prize. If we get the jackpot, or when we get the jackpot to $15,000.
Josh shaves his head?
Josh has already
done
that.
I will.
No, Josh has already done that. Okay. He just did it. He just went and did it.
For the cars.
Instead of making it a show thing, at least it could have been a show thing. He just like went on a whim and he was just like, you know what? I'm doing this.
Yeah.
No, you know when you're thinking about doing something, then you're like, yeah. I just got to do it.
Yeah. That's very selfish of you, but it's okay.
Yep. Well, it opened the door for this to be a prize.
Exactly. So once we get to $15,000 on the jackpot, here at Sports at 650, we will give away an autographed
Dan Riccio.
No, not an autographed Dan Puccio jersey. It will be an autographed Quinn Hughes jersey.
Okay. That's a little bit more cachet.
You don't have to donate to the 50-50 in order to be eligible for that prize, but
it would be nice.
It will be a prize given away on Sportsnet 650 because the 50-50 draw is getting more money in support of BC Challenger Baseball. So make sure that you do that. The link is available on my Twitter account. I've posted it a little bit earlier today. You can find it at Sportsnet 650 on X as well. And also you can just text 650-650, the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Text money and you will get the 50-50 draw link right to your phone. All right. As mentioned, it's a Friday. Let's get to Mailbag Friday here on Canuck Central. We go to our David Beckham wannabe.
Okay.
Josh Elliott.
You added the wannabe. Okay.
Sir right. David Beckham.
Yeah. Is he a sir?
Well, he's going to, isn't he being knighted? No, he's not being, something's happening. I thought he was being knighted.
Pretty sure he's knighted.
Is he knighted, isn't he?
Sir what David is? Beckham.
Our resident Britishman, Zach Clark.
Do you think you could score from the center circle against Wimbledon?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you had irrational confidence.
Yeah, so yeah. So David Beckham is set to be awarded knighthood on King Charles's birthday. So yeah.
Wow.
Not if I get there first.
Godspeed.
Didn't need the Dan Puccio.
Oh, it's Justin Eastman, man. All over
he's,
it.
He's quick on those Photoshops. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got, Josh?
Oh, can I start this one, actually?
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. No, I have one job here.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, you have multiple jobs.
I just want to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Unverified rumors on group chats.
Mm.
Overrated, underrated.
They are... They, you know what? They're underrated.
What?
We should start some.
No,
they're
gonna
fun.
Leave it that.
They create conversation.
The best is like, you know, they come out and people like message us like, why don't you guys talk about this? Yeah, I'm going to talk about something that some random person said in a group chat to somebody that has not been verified and we ask people say is not true. Why would we talk? You know what I mean?
Oh, it's good for the group chat. Not something we'd talk about here on the show. At least I would hope.
Yeah. Anyway, just leave it at that.
Okay.
Just leave it at that.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm worried I'm going to ask a question that I don't even know what we're talking about.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. First one from Arpan. How concerning is it that the Canucks don't have a single person with NHL head coaching experience on their staff?
So if we were to rate the level of concern from 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, I would say carry the one. One. Yeah, I'm not all that concerned that the Canucks don't have head coaching experience on their bench.
Not concerned at all?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd say my level of concern is muted. I wouldn't say I don't have any concerns.
Mm. I don't really have any concerns.
It's very unproven.
Yeah.
Like, very unproven.
It is a very unproven coaching situation. And sure, you know, like, there's other situations that have had, a rookie head coach come in and have some head coaching experience surrounding him. I guess Chris Knobloch has had that in Edmonton, and even Martin St. Louis had a little bit of that in Montreal. But ultimately, I think I'm not too worried about it. You know, I feel like this team is in a pretty tough spot to begin with. Adam Foote knows the group. He was with this group, knows what they need to do to have success. And things like the power play and looking at Brett McLean's numbers, like I don't with the Iowa Wild, like I'm not concerned about that. He was a head coach with the Iowa Wild. They were fine. It's more about how does this coaching staff connect with the group? I don't necessarily think you have to have prior head coaching experience in order to have success.
No, I don't think you need to have. It's not a prerequisite to have prior experience as a head coach to have success. That's absolutely true. I'm just not as carefree about it as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am hopeful. I like a lot about the plan and everything we heard from Foote the last couple times he's spoken, especially the combo he had at the Jays game yesterday, and how specific the plan for everybody is and the idea in mind and the guys they went after and how they went about putting the staff together, his approach to the leadership group, a lot of things that are encouraging, right? But any hire you make at this time of year, it's going to be encouraging.
Yeah.
The first thing, anytime you can hire somebody that even people weren't very encouraged, like they didn't want to get hired, they have a few first couple of interviews, they say the right things, people are like, hey, this guy sounds good.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel good about it. But you don't know until games start getting played, right? So, and because it's so unproven, because not a single one of these guys has been an NHL head coach, I do have a little bit of trepidation about how they're going to handle certain circumstances, right? Now, Kevin,
there's an element of like learning on the job.
Yeah. Yes. And I do think Dean is a guy who's been around, obviously, and he's a great guy to have on the team. And I'm hopeful it's going to go well for them. But you know, I'm just not quite where you're at, where I'm not worried about it. I'm hopeful, but you know, there's some cautious optimism, maybe.
I just think people are overstating its value.
Nah, that's fair. I do think generally people do.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, as long as they didn't hire people that are in over their heads.
Yeah.
If they're in over their heads, then it's trouble, right? Yeah. Like it's, you're right. The level of impact, it's not as big as people want to make it out to be, coaching staff to coaching staff, but it is if you don't have the right guy.
Right. I don't think that's going to be the reason this coaching staff either fails or has success. Mm.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ultimately, that's how I feel about it. What's next?
Next one is from Justin in East Van. Do any NHL teams have buyer's remorse with head coach hirings right now? Or, sorry, now that Peter DeBoer is available?
Teams, you mean?
Any teams around the league, is there any buyer's remorse about the coaches they hired instead of Pete DeBoer?
Okay, let me ask you this first.
Mm.
Guys, you guys can, you know, chime in. Pete DeBoer, what price range would he fall into, number one?
Probably around the $5 million range.
Right. So, I think when people ask this, I think part of it is kind of alluding to the Canucks. Would the Canucks ever pay what it would take to hire DeBoer, you think?
No. They
probably wouldn't be in that market,
they opened
right?
the wallet a little bit further for Rick Tocchet, but they haven't shown to be a team that's willing to do that for others.
What other team, though, do you guys think would be...
Well, Boston doesn't pay their coaches all that much, right? That's why they stayed away from Rick Tocchet, too.
Yeah, it's hard to think of a team that like would have been looking for a coach like Pete DeBoer that would also pay what Pete DeBoer wanted, other than like the Rangers, but they got Mike Sullivan, who they probably want more.
Yeah. I don't think there's too many of those teams, right? Like there's only two teams right now that pay their coaches more than $5 million.
Yeah. I mean, in Anaheim, it was very clear they kind of wanted...
I guess three. Anaheim is well, I don't know how much Joel Quenneville's
going to doubt Quenneville coming back with all the baggage. It's very doubtful he's making market value, right, for the success he's had as a coach previously in the NHL.
But like prior to this year, Sullivan and John Cooper were the only coaches making more than $5 million.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a team that regrets it. I mean, Philly was locked in on talk.
Yeah.
We knew that when he was the coach of the Canucks.
Yeah. So he's getting more than $5 million now. So he's added to the $5 million club.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's not a lot of those guys.
No, I struggle to think, like, Seattle maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe Seattle?
Maybe Seattle. But, like, Pete DeBoer is more of a, like...
Hey, go to a good team.
Take a pretty ready team.
Right.
And try to get them over the top, even though he's proven to be the guy that can't get a team over the top.
Yeah, and even Seattle, look at the coaches they've had. And they went to Bylsma, who they gave a chance to, again, yeah. who had been in the AHL for a long time. So he wasn't making a ton of money. Hackstall got a second chance, wasn't making a ton of money. Their most recent hire, probably not making a ton of money.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how willing they are to spend big, so to speak. So I have a hard time narrowing it down. Do you guys have anybody else? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think there's anybody really there.
I wonder if he's just going to be, you know, when a coach gets fired a couple months into the season from a good team that's underperforming.
Oh, yeah. Okay, over under him getting hired before or after Christmas.
I can say before.
Yeah, usually like the teams that make those changes early in the season are good teams that are like panicked about something. Yeah.
I say over. I think he sits this year out.
Really? Yeah. The whole year?
Unless there's a really ready team that acts as their coach at some point during the season, I think Pete DeBoer sits on the sidelines for this season.
I just kind of feel like there's always a team that does that, you know?
Yeah, a team that struggles early and then they have a lot at stake and
bad month,
you know,
and they thought they were supposed to be Stanley Cup contenders or whatever.
It has to be the right team. It has to be a team that's really close, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of team that Pete DeBoer is going to wait for.
Yeah, well, I mean, would you go back to New Jersey if they have a bad start with Keefe, which I doubt.
There's potential there.
That's what I know. You're looking at those types of spots, right?
But maybe LA if they want to move on from Hiller.
Yeah.
That's maybe a team to watch. Mm-hmm. Because Ken Holland obviously wasn't, Jim Hiller wasn't his hire.
I'll say under. I think he gets hired before Christmas.
Okay.
Next one from Jordan. What possible reason would a team have for not sending their GM and president to the combine?
I mean, practice facility research?
Yeah, practice facility research. So the Canucks did post a video recently today, and from what I could see, Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford were not there in the combine video that they released today. It was Todd Harvey and Cammy Granato that were featured more so. It's kind of strange. Like I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
Also at the same time, like there's other things going on. They're trusting that they're. The draft branch of the front office is doing their jobs at the combine right now, and maybe they'll join them at some point. I'm sure that they probably will here at some point during the week, but it's a little bit interesting to me. It's one of those things where you raise an eyebrow at it, but I don't know if there's too much there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So when I asked about it, I wasn't told that they're going there or not going there, but I was told that it's not very hard for them to get there.
Right.
As in, like, you know, and you fly charter, it's like, you know, you're there in 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's so maybe they have plans of being there today or tomorrow or whatever. I don't know. So we'll see.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Next one from Michael. Is this a make or break off season? And if the Canucks whiff again, could they be forced into tearing it down?
I mean, yes, they could be forced into tearing it down. It really hinges on Quinn Hughes' want to stay in Vancouver or not.
You know, I do think that you're right. I do think, though, however, that we're making this too much of an either-or distinction, and that's never the case.
Yeah.
Right? It's never the case. And
it's never black and white.
No, because, like, there are so many possibilities here, right? Like, there's a possibility that Quinn Hughes leaves because Pedersen struggles again and the team isn't very good, and now they have to move off Quinn and then try to get whatever they can for Pedersen. Now you're kind of forced into that rebuild. But there's also a world where Pedersen plays really well, Quinn does well, but the desire is still not to be here.
Right.
Do you rebuild then, or do you just move Quinn because you have a bunch of other guys that are relatively young?
Yeah.
The blue line's not old. Pedersen's still relatively young, locked up long term. Would that lead into a big rebuild?
I guess it would depend on what you get for Quinn Hughes, which you would get a haul.
But even so, I don't think if you're not trading Pedersen, and let's say you're keeping Hronek, Marcus Pedersen, and the rest of the defense, you're not a rebuilding team. You're a retooling team. Maybe you missed the playoffs or something for a year or something, but you're not tearing it down.
Right.
Right? So I'm not sure, ultimately, that the full teardown is happening, even if Quinn does get moved. Like, I'm not convinced about that.
There could be a gray area.
Yeah, there could be a bit of a gray area. The more I've thought about this, too, because, like, we've been saying it. I think we've been a bit maybe too cavalier with, like, well, they're rebuilding if Quinn's gone. It's like, well, I'm not quite sure.
I mean, the president essentially said
it. He said that. You're right. But it's like, he can say whatever he wants. But then you look at the situation, you're like, are you really?
And he might not be the guy if...
Precisely. Because, number one, he may not be the guy because you failed.
Yeah.
And the second one might be, maybe he's like, you know what? Quinn's leaving. It hasn't worked out. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
Does he want to be here? You know, so I think the interesting question is who's making, like, if Quinn doesn't want to be here, who's making the trade?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that person's not in the organization.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's how.
Could be a new front office by next
time. You don't know, right? But to answer the question, the stakes are very high.
Next one from Andrew. Should the Canucks look to extend Kiefer Sherwood come July 1st?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, Sad thinks he's going to score 78 goals this year. So I would say you probably want to lock him in before he does that.
He's going to hit at least 30 next year. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think if you can get him signed to a contract extension that's under $3 million per season,
yeah,
I'd do it.
How many years would be on that? Like, could you do one of those Brandon Tanev, Yanni Gourde type contracts for Kiefer Sherwood?
I think he is too unproven despite having a really good season, and I think he's too old to get that 5 or 6 year deal. Would he say no if the Canucks offer him a 3-year deal worth, say, 2.75 a year?
Would be hard to turn that down, that kind of money.
That's almost like $9 million. That's like, you know, $8.25 million for a guy who's never made more than $1.5 million in a single season.
Yeah. Could have a big opportunity here,
yeah.
You know, given the lack of right wing options. Like, well, right now, it's Garland and Kiefer Sherwood.
If you really believe in Sherwood, I think the time to sign him is before the season begins.
Yeah,
because if he has
another 20-ish goal season,
yeah, and then he's going to be asking for 4+.
Yeah,
because somebody in free agency is going to give him at least a 3-year deal worth $4 million. So, how much is he willing to bet on himself? I would take the gamble of trying to put a team-friendly number in front of him. That's hard for a player like him to say no to.
Next one comes from Mike the Urologist. Who is the low score in a round of golf between Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, Thatcher Demko, and Adam Foote? And if you have the yips playing hockey this year, does that bleed into your golf game too?
I am not in tune with their handicaps or anything like that. I think Pettersson is around scratch. I'm not sure Hughes is quite there. Demko's really good.
I'd say Pettersson.
Is Adam Foote like sneaky good? Does he golf a lot?
Yeah, I think for coaches, it's harder to golf. Like during the season, the players can always like, but the coaches just don't have the time.
Yeah.
They're always like,
I mean, he
have
a lot of time in between retiring and coaching.
Though. Right. Yeah. I think he maybe plays some golf then. I'd say Petey. Like, Petey's like him, Petey.
To me, it's between Petey and Demko. I think Demmer's pretty good. Probably Petey, though.
All right. From Ryan Henderson. Do you check your takeout order before driving away from a drive-thru, or do you roll the dice like Rick Dolliwell?
Is it weird to roll the dice? I'm a roll the dice guy.
Right, you don't really? Check, you
I never thought of it as rolling the dice. I don't know. You just
trust whatever they give you.
I have a lot of trust in people, I guess.
You do. Are you gullible?
You fool?
Do you believe everything you see in
Good Chance?
I don't
know. How hard is it to figure out? Like, I ordered a burger and fries, you know? Like,
what sometimes they just give you the
what
wrong
What kind
day?
Of inspection are we doing here? It's a burger and fries.
No, I always check because two things. If I'm getting takeout, I always check, especially fast food. Did you put ketchup in the bag?
Right.
And if you didn't, then you have to ask for
a straw.
Yeah,
a drink.
Certain things, right? Like some itself, grab it, whatever.
Some don't even give out a straw anymore. They give you the sippy cups.
Yeah, oh, they do.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you get the paper straws even.
No.
Some have the like plastic lids that are like a Starbucks lid almost.
Yeah. You gotta sip from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I do.
unimpressed.
Sad seems so disappointed.
So unimpressed by that.
So unimpressed.
I want a straw.
Well,
you can tell who doesn't frequent fast food joints as often on this show.
Who would have thought? Satchi Arshad doesn't eat fast food all that frequently.
You guys know I will have, you know, a fast food burger from time to time. I'm not against it.
Especially the game day deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not against it.
No.
I would say I'm a. What I do is as you slowly drive away and you check. So yeah. You're not holding up the drive-thru, but you do a quick glance, a roll away, is what I like to call it.
It's like literally just look into your bag. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I order, like, especially order a lot of stuff. It's like, hey, make just take a quick look. Yeah, I take a quick look.
When I worked at McDonald's, inspect though, everything. And people did that, when they, because some people inspect. Some people sit there for, like, 20 to 30 seconds, and I'm like, you got to go.
Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, I promise look. It's all in.
A quick look is because, like, you know, people forget stuff. It's not even about, like, you know, honest mistakes happen.
I mean, it's just never happened to me where really? I, like, you know, ordered a Big Mac and left the drive-thru with a Filet-O-Fish.
Yeah.
You know?
No, fair. But no, he ordered a Filet-O-Fish, and he left with cheeseburgers, which... Yeah.
Two Filet-O-Fish.
Well, the thing is, that's probably why he got the cheeseburger. Like, this person doesn't want Filet-O-Fish. Yeah. They probably meant cheeseburgers.
Two of them?
Two? Who won?
There's
this is,
no
this
way.
This is a bit. This is no way. He's going to be so mad if we give him two fish. Let's just give him cheeseburgers. I haven't had a Filet-O-Fish in, like, I think I was a kid the last time I had one. I've never seen somebody order a Filet-O-Fish.
No.
They were, again, going back to my working at McDonald's experience, they were very infrequently ordered. And I tried one, and it's just fine.
It's fine.
It's not good. Yeah, it's not horrible.
But the thing I get is, like, why do they keep offering it when nobody buys it?
Isn't it, like, the highest calorie thing at on the menu, pretty much?
Is it?
I would assume not, because there's, like, quarter pounders and stuff.
Mm. But I think it's because the fish is breaded and the tartar sauce is very, very right. heavy as well.
They only put half a slice of cheese on a filet of fish, not a full slice. Which was annoying because then you have a half slice just chilling there, getting hard.
Be too calorie dense in that case.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, you know, like one thing I will, maybe if generally I'm with my wife when we go through drive-through and she'll do the check.
Oh, yeah. You got the wife doing it. Yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm not so worried about this.
You do the handoff?
Yeah, I do the handoff. Yeah.
We'll end with this one from Tyler, still drive-through related. Who at Sportsnet 650 is most likely to cause a scene at a drive-through if asked to pull ahead? You know when you get asked to like pull through and wait.
Can you park in space number two there?
Yeah, your order's taking a while. Sat, you might not know because you don't frequent fast food.
I know that one. I can't think of the last time like that happened. Like, is that annoying? I guess it is annoying. Is that
some people would say no.
Dude, I'm not waiting.
When I work there, yeah, they're like, no, I'm gonna wait here, and I'm like. Dude, it's still going to be the same amount of time. But yeah, some people get upset about it because they think it's going to take longer, but really it's just because like the person behind you ordered a coffee or whatever, right?
People are insane. People are insane.
Some people suck.
Yeah, people
people go really like crazy about that, hey?
There's yeah. I mean, I think the biggest issue is I'm going to get philosophical here is like everyone takes things personally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We all have egos, right? I mean, I've been a victim of that too, and things happen, but it's like, not everything is personally directed at you,
yeah.
especially when you're out. Like, people just, like, they don't care. It's not about you, dude. Like, yeah. it's really not about you. Like, sometimes it's just life. It's not about you. Don't take everything personally.
But why do I feel like it's Bruff?
Yeah, but even then, I think Bruff's
I feel bad calling out Bruff because he's probably not that guy, but like...
I don't think he would make a scene. I think he would just like frustratingly drive to the... Yeah. He might be upset about it.
He would maybe give like a huff.
A big sigh.
A big sigh, for sure.
Yeah, Bruff with
but
a huff.
I think I can like happily and confidently say nobody at 650 is making a scene at the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Drance might if he's really hungry.
Yeah. What do you mean Tom Landers has more value than Zach Benson, drive-thru worker?
That makes more sense.
Like hangry Drance?
Yeah.
Like Miss Brunch Drance?
Mm.
Miss Brunch Drance.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
All right, people are texting in. I'm a pescatarian. If I need McDonald's Filet-O-Fish, only thing I can get, that's what it is. And A&W's Beyond Meat.
It's options. You know what? That's probably the last time I had a Filet-O-Fish. Ahead of Easter, you don't have you don't have meat on Fridays. So I would have if I had to indulge, I would get a Filet-O-Fish.
Okay, I haven't had one in forever. I mean, now I kind of want to have one to see what the futz is all about.
Let's all go get.
Is it like a fish stick in between bread? Is it?
Well,
like
it's
that?
Like a fish patty.
Yeah.
I love fish sticks.
They have fish
kid.
Snack wraps too now. Yeah. Haven't tried it.
That sounds gross.
JT the Halibut Fisherman says, me and my friends get Filet-O-Fish all the time. It's great.
When I worked there for, it was like a special item. They had a McLobster.
Ooh. That
was not very good.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Let's go to McDonald's and get lobster.
Leaf, our friend Leaf, Filet-O-Fish. Since when does cheese go with fish? It's kind of true.
Yeah, it's a strange one. All right, we got Jen Gardner coming up. One of five PWHL Vancouver signings, and Surrey native is coming up next. That's on Canuck Central.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.